here. Welcome to the show. Come on in, make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimak. I am going to be hanging out here for the next 30 minutes, and I would love it if you would keep me company. This week, we will be looking at the Mass readings from the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The topic, victory through defeat. What appears to be defeat in the eyes of the world is actually victory. Interesting, right? We're going to focus on the crucifixion and the other things that happen in our lives that just seem like we're being defeated. But in reality, if we're in Christ, if we're working with Him, ultimately, we're going to emerge victorious, even though the world might not recognize it. This is a show that I believe can give us a lot of hope. That's the goal, anyway. That's my goal. I'm going to pray in a few minutes for the guidance of the Holy Spirit that I can deliver the message that the Lord wants me to deliver. Also, after we pray, I'm going to share a little bit of news about my new book, which is officially been released, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. What I told you a few weeks ago is that I said you'd be hearing more about the book once it comes out. So each week on the program, what I'd like to do is just give you a little insight. We're not going to take a lot of time with it because I don't want to take away from the readings. But in case you're wondering what the book's about, we'll talk a little bit about it at the start of the program each week. We'll do that after we pray. So with that in mind, let's turn to our Heavenly Father who is standing by, who is with us right now, and who is waiting to hear from us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for being present with us right now. Father, we know that you love us, because otherwise you would have not created us. You love us. You are bigger than our problems. You are hearing our words. You're watching over us. And we know that it pleases you when we turn to you in prayer. So therefore, Father, we come to you. The first thing we want to do is praise you, to praise you for your power, to praise you for your ability to be everywhere at once, to praise you for your incredible wisdom, which so far exceeds any of our wisdom. We praise you for all the great works you have done throughout history. Father, we also thank you. We thank you for the many blessings you've given to each of us. We thank you for sustaining us for so many years. The fact that we're alive is proof that you provide for all of our needs. We thank you, Father, for getting us through so many storms where it appeared that all hope was lost. Somehow you came through and got us to the other side safely. We praise you, Father, for and thank you for sending Jesus into the world to redeem us, to open up the gates of heaven so that we could live with you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all the angels and saints in heaven forever and ever. And we, Father, we come to you also with our needs. We pray for all of our own personal needs. We pray for those people who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for all who are suffering today. We pray for those who don't know you, maybe those who walked away from the church. We pray for those who are searching but haven't quite found you yet or discovered you as their Heavenly Father and as their God. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for our church. We pray for our country. We pray for those around the world who are suffering. We pray for all missionaries who travel to share the good news and to take care of the poor. We pray for all students and all teachers who have either returned to school for the beginning of the new school year or will be doing so shortly. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for all those who struggle with mental illness or any kind of anxiety disorder. Father, we thank you for your willingness to hear our prayers, and I want to specifically ask you, Father, to give me the words for this program so that I can deliver the message you would like us to hear. And I pray also that through the work of your Holy Spirit that you'll open up all of our minds and our hearts to hear your message and be willing to put it into practice in our own lives. Father, as I always do, I ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. I come your way each week at this time for 30 minutes to hang out with you, to talk about the weekend's Sunday Mass readings. This week, we're going to look at the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, before I get started with that, I just want to alert you to a couple of things. If you want to find out more about my work, if you want to invite me to speak at your parish, if you want to purchase one of my books, if you want to sign up for my free daily email reflection, all of that you can do by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. I mentioned that I wanted to say a few things about my new book. It is now officially out. The name is Lord Save Me. It's from Ave Maria Press. The subtitle is Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. Excuse me. And from the back of the book, there is some wording on the back of the book. We all face moments when our problems feel overwhelming, leaving us unsure how to ask for God's help. And that's what this book is about. This book is about those who, and we all are in this position at times, when we need God to be absolutely real to us and when we're up against it. You know how it is? You have a really difficult problem. And you're really praying, Lord, show up. I need you to save me. And the book is based upon the story of St. Peter. When he tried to walk on the water, he was doing okay at first. Then what happened? He took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. He focused more on the wind and the waves than on Jesus. He began to sink, but we give Peter some credit here for having the presence of mind to call out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And the Bible tells us Jesus immediately reached out for Peter and saved him. That's the message that I want to convey in this book. It's a series of Bible passages, scripture reflections, and prayers. Prayers that I wrote myself in times of need. And just to give you an idea, because people have been asking me, I want to make sure you understand what the book is about. The book has several different chapters. When you feel doubtful or uncertain, when you are afraid, when you feel weak, when you are discouraged, when you feel lonely, when you are confused, when you are suffering, when you feel hopeless, when you are burdened or overwhelmed, or when you are in need and feel helpless. And for each of these chapters, what I do is look at some Bible verses, give a brief reflection on the verses, and then write some prayers that you can either pray or use them to model your own prayers after. And each chapter has several verses. So it's broken down into different chapters, several different meditations in there. And, I really believe the book will help you if you struggle, if you're looking for relief, or maybe you know somebody who is. The end of the introduction, I just want to read this for you from the end of the introduction. As you may know, I am no stranger to the topic of anxiety. As someone who has a tendency to be anxious, I know firsthand what it's like to be consumed with worry and hopelessness. Fortunately, I've also learned the peace that comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In addition to my own experience as a warrior who has learned to lean on Jesus for support, I've spent more than a decade helping others move from fear to faith through my speaking and writing ministry. Through my personal and professional experience, I've been able to identify several common manifestations of storm-related anxiety, 10 of which I've included in this book. The good news is that each of the unpleasant situations gives us an opportunity to turn to Jesus for help. And that's where I want to leave it with the book this week. Each of these difficult situations, these fear-producing situations, they give us an opportunity. We don't have to turn to worry. We can also turn to Jesus. And it's my prayer that through this book, you're going to more frequently turn to Jesus than turn inward and begin to worry. So that's the goal. Again, each week, we'll talk a little bit about it, just for a few minutes about it, to give you an idea of what the book is all about. To see if maybe if you think it'll help you, you could purchase a copy or you can let somebody know about it. Again, the book Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard from Ave Maria Press is available now. And the easiest thing to do is go right to my website, followingthetruth.com. And there's a link to where you can purchase the book right from the website. All right, sound good? Okay, I appreciate your time. But I wrote the book because I think it'll help you. And I do believe that it will help you or help somebody maybe you know who is struggling at the moment. All right, let's get to these mass readings now. 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time, victory through defeat. As we do each week, I'm going to start with the gospel, then we'll back up a little, look at the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the second reading, and try to find that common thing, that theme, that link between all the readings. What I get when I read it and pray about it is victory through defeat. Let's talk a little bit about it as we read these various readings. We'll start with the gospel, Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son and a son against his mother. A father will be divided against his son and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Now, you know, Jesus, he's the Prince of Peace, so it seems unusual that he's saying, "Well, I didn't come to bring peace." He's not saying that his goal is not to deliver peace to the world. What he's saying is that his message is going to divide people. Because people are either going to be for him or against him. I mean, you know that. I'm sure you've seen that in your life. The opposition that occurs when you profess your Christian faith. Sometimes it's nasty opposition. In certain parts of the country, it is physical, violent persecution. But the thing is, if you are really living your Christian faith, you're going to make some enemies. Because Jesus demands that his followers follow him. And he gives us some pretty detailed and specific commands. He's not looking for lukewarmness. He's looking for his followers to legitimately follow him and obey his commandments. In fact, that's how he told us that we love him. We could be sure we're loving him if we're obeying his commandments. So what Jesus is saying, he's not looking to cause division. He's looking to bring about unity. But he knows that his message is going to bring about division. Why? Because some people are not going to want to hear what he has to say. And I think in all fairness, each of us at one time or another frequently goes against the teachings of Jesus. We might not do it intentionally, but I just got back from confession right now. And every time I go, there's always some things that I've done which really deviate from the teachings of Jesus. Because as a Christian, I'm called to be Jesus. And with the help of his grace, that's possible. So why is it that I don't look like Jesus when people see my actions and hear my words? And if they could hear my thoughts, they don't sound very Jesus-like at times. Well, it's because we have free will. I have free will. And sometimes, even though I pray each day, "Thy will be done," sometimes my will be done is a little more important to me. And that's due to the fallen human nature. But, you know, here's what I would tell you. Don't get discouraged. Keep trying with the help of God's grace. The sacrament of confession is an excellent tool to help us become more Christ-like. It's the same with the Eucharist. The more times we avail ourselves of the sacraments, and the ones we're going to keep receiving repeatedly, primarily are the Eucharist and confession, the more we do that, the more grace we're going to receive, and the more we cooperate with that grace. In other words, we have to play a part. God doesn't force us to do anything. The more we cooperate with that grace, the more we are going to resemble Jesus. But this sets up these readings nicely. Remember, victory through defeat. The initial message of this gospel is that Jesus, by speaking the truth, made some enemies. He made some waves. You know, he got people's attention. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. Because it required them, if they were really going to listen to him, it would require them to change. And a lot of times people don't want to change. So victory through defeat, the ultimate defeat, what appeared to be the defeat of Jesus, his crucifixion, occurred because he was speaking the truth, and the truth divides people because some are going to accept it and others are not. So let's keep that in mind. Let's go into the first reading and try to put it all together. We go to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 38, beginning in verse 4. In those days, the princes said to the king, Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who were left in this city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in our ruin. Do you see that? You see that division right there? Jeremiah, the prophet, the one relaying the message of God. He's a type of Jesus in the Old Testament. And what happens? People want him put to death because they don't want to hear that message because it's going to make them feel guilty and they don't want to change. King Zedekiah answered, he is in your power, for the king could do nothing with them. And so they took Jeremiah, they threw him into the cistern of Prince Malchiah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. Ebed-Melech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, my lord king, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern. He will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city. Then the king ordered Ebed-Melech the Cushite to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. So here we have a case of what appeared to be the death of Jeremiah the prophet, but he was rescued. Victory through defeat. And ultimately, he emerged victorious. Again, this is a symbol. If we look at this in the Old Testament, it's a sign of what's to come with Jesus. But remember, going back to that gospel, why was Jeremiah in the cistern? It's because he caused division by speaking God's message to the people. The people didn't want to hear the message, just as they didn't want to hear the message of Jesus. But ultimately, what happened? Jeremiah and Jesus both emerged victorious. What appeared to be a defeat was actually a victory. And that's what it is. So many times we see people who apparently are defeated, who are looked down upon in the world. People who are following the Lord, trying to do his work in the world. Others will look at them and say, look, they're nobodies. They're defeated. Let's just get them quiet. They're bothering everybody, you know, because ultimately people who are not following Jesus, they don't want the message of Jesus getting out to the world because they don't want to hear it themselves and they're afraid. Sometimes it's a power thing. That's what King Herod's big thing was. He wanted Jesus dead because Jesus was a threat to his power. He was the only king. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 40. Lord, come to my aid. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me. The Lord heard my cry. He drew me out of the pit of destruction. Again, Jeremiah and Jesus. Apparently in a bad position, apparently defeated, but they both experienced victory through apparent defeat. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp. He set my feet upon a crag. He made firm my steps. And he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Many shall look on in awe and trust in the Lord. Though I am afflicted and poor, yet the Lord thinks of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, hold not back. Lord, come to my aid. See what happens? The Lord hears the cries of the poor. The Lord heard the cries of Jeremiah. The Lord heard the cries of Jesus. God heard the Father heard the cries of Jesus. And he was able to raise him from the dead. Or Jesus was able to rise from the dead. Apparent defeat turns into victory. But it's all in God's time. The kingdom of God is invisible. And the powers of the world don't recognize the kingdom of God. That's where the division comes from. And for thousands of years now, the world has been trying to shut down God's message, right? And that's why religious persecution comes about. because in certain places, rulers don't want their people to worship any other king besides them. And therefore, the division comes in. Let's look at the second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and the perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. So what Jesus did is set us an example. And Jesus was able to recognize, I love this, for the sake of the joy that lay before him. He saw beyond the immediate pain and disgrace of the cross and saw the victory and the heavenly reward that would lay beyond that. And that's our goal. That's what we have to do. We somehow have to look beyond the struggles, the defeats, the suffering in this life, and consider the joy that awaits us in heaven. And do what? And continue to carry our crosses. Ask the Lord for the help to do so. And not grow weary and lose heart, as we read in this second reading. And it's easy to lose heart, to become disheartened with the way the world is right now. You know, you might think, oh, why am I even trying? It's not working. The world's a mess. Well, what appears to be a mess is not a mess in the eyes of the Lord, because he's in control. And I know it doesn't look like that. But if you have doubt as to God is still in control of the universe, take note of what happened at Calvary on Good Friday 2,000 years ago. That crucifixion looked like defeat, but it was actually a victory. And so I would say to you right now in your own life, what may look like defeat, you may feel like you're not getting anywhere. You may see defeat all around you. You may feel like giving up. You may think, what's the use? I mean, these are all natural feelings, and sometimes it's normal to feel that way. So don't feel bad about being discouraged. Don't feel bad about feeling abandoned. You know, sometimes you feel abandoned. God, where are you? I'm praying. You're not helping me. Don't feel bad about not feeling God's presence. All of these things are normal, because we're called to walk by faith. And that's not easy in a world where we're taught to use our senses to perceive the world around us. But by faith, we're asked to follow an invisible Savior and turn to an invisible Heavenly Father and use the power given to us by the invisible Holy Spirit. I mean, it's not easy, because our senses rebel against that idea of walking by faith. But St. Paul commands us to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what we're called to as Christians. So when we start getting the opposition, and sometimes it's not major opposition, sometimes it's, a lot of times it's in your own household, right? A good chance you have experienced that, where people just might make fun of you or try to shoot you down when you want to have faith and say, I believe this is going to work out. I'm going to pray about this. You'll hear sometimes, oh yeah, pray about it, right. Keep going. Because our goal in life is not to please people. Our goal is to please the Lord. And our goal ultimately is to be transformed into Jesus. Look at his life. There's a good chance you're not going to be crucified, but you are going to be subject to persecution. And it could be mild. Most times it is. But that can be really painful, especially when it comes from a family member. Don't be discouraged. keep reaching out to the Lord and ask Him to help. And you will experience victory through what appears to be defeat. Our ultimate victory we're not going to see until after our death, when we get to enter into the heavenly kingdom. But just the fact that we know that Jesus appeared to be defeated, but yet actually did exactly what He set out to do, just the fact that we know that can give us the strength to go on, even when we are feeling discouraged. So whatever you do, don't give up. Keep praying and know that God doesn't lose battles. Every now and then it appears to be a loss, but don't become discouraged, because He can do all things. I want to thank you for listening to the show today. Boy, I don't know where the time goes. It goes really quickly, and I really enjoy doing this show. I thank you for your presence with me. You know, I couldn't do it if you weren't here, so I'm very grateful that you show up each week to listen. Please let your friends know about this program. If you have any questions, you can always email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. And if you get a chance, head on over to my website, followingthetruth.com, and find out about the books I have written, find out about how to sign up for my daily newsletter, and also find out about how to invite me to speak at your parish. I would love to do that, especially during Advent or Lent. I do a Finding Peace in Advent talk, as well as a Give Up Worry for Lent talk or parish mission. So if you want to find out about how to make that happen, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. If you would be so kind as to consider making a financial donation to my ministry, it gets difficult in the summer, especially. There's much less speaking work available. So I would greatly appreciate that if you would consider doing that. You can do that also at followingthetruth.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. As always, you're going to be in my prayers, really, every day. I keep you in my prayers. If you would be so kind as to pray for me and my family, I would greatly appreciate that. So until we meet again, remember that in God's eyes, there's no such thing as defeat. What appears to be defeat in the world's eyes is victory in God's eyes. Don't become discouraged or lose hope. God bless you, and look forward to joining you next time. Bye-bye now.